Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to What Culture Gaming. I'm Scott, joined by Josh.
Hello, Scott.
Josh, my friend, your friend and mine, Hideo Kojima, is doing a little bit of the rounds. Turns out he's sitting down with Microsoft in talks for a future game. Now, we don't know whether this is going to be an Xbox exclusive or not, but the story comes from one Jeff Grubb, the dude over on VentureBeat, who's quickly making a name for himself in the industry as just being Jimmy Leaks, just leaking left, right, and center. Just anything you want to know, he's got the leaks. Call him the farmer, Jeff the farmer Grubb, man's got the leaks. So he's done a recent report over on VentureBeat, mostly in relation to a game called Abandoned, which is like a new first-person horror thing, which was doing the rounds online as it kind of got like mixed in with Kojima-type stuff because people were like, oh my god, it's a little bit PT style. It's a horror first-person game. Maybe this is secretly the next Hideo Kojima game, which wouldn't be unprecedented because Kojima fake created the Moby Dick Studios team for a while before MGS5. But anyway, so Jeff Grubb weighed in on that and said, look, it's not that. It is just a, you know, it is just another first-person horror game. But in amongst doing that report, just drop the bombshell, just Jason Schreier style, just out of nowhere, hey, here's this other crazy thing, and said that as far as he knows, Kojima is in talks with Microsoft about publishing his next game, according to a source familiar with the matter. He says he can't confirm if Xbox closed the deal yet, but his understanding is that Kojima is the focus of a Microsoft plan to leverage Japanese talent. He also says that this is what Phil Spencer was referencing in his February live stream, where there was one of the Homo Ludens dudes from Death Stranding. Was on Phil Spencer's shelf, and that's apparently what Phil Spencer was getting at, that assumedly these talks must have already been underway. So before we get into the specifics of where Hideo Kojima is at in relation to Sony, where does this news strike you?
Well, it's just crazy, isn't it? Like, it would be such a big win for Microsoft, especially at a time when Sony's kind of like losing the Japanese market. You know, we've heard a lot of stories coming out over the past 6 months or something about how kind of like disenfranchised Japanese gamers are with the company, how the PlayStation 5 is like struggling to sell there compared to previous consoles. So while all of this is happening, for Microsoft to then focus on the Japanese market and get someone like Hideo Kojima, who has such a reputation and is so beloved by, you know, gamers all over the world, it's just like, it feels like a big loss for Sony and it feels like a big win for Microsoft should the deal go through. Because obviously, you know, even back when he split from Konami, Kojima was, you know, going to a bunch of studios. In fact, I'm pretty sure he talked to Microsoft back then about whether they wanted to finance his game, and he eventually went to Sony because that's where he had a relationship already established, could get a lot of money, a lot of resources, and a lot of time, and he felt comfortable. But it was never, like you said at the beginning, it was never kind of like a set in stone thing that relationship was going to continue, you know, going forward.
Well, that's the thing that I was trying to get the specifics on. Like, what was the specific deal that he signed? Because the way that it always read, and obviously they got out there and did that big video saying, you know, welcoming Hideo Kojima to like the Sony family and everything, and Death Stranding was then a PlayStation exclusive until it went to PC. But my assumption was always that he was joining, you know, Sony PlayStation. Like, everything he was doing going forward would be a Sony exclusive. Now, I know that, like, if you go back and read the reports from that time, that was never written out. I think it was more just an optics thing, which is obviously what they wanted from that video that they put out. But did you assume that it was an exclusive thing? Because I guess, like, there's always been room for him to do a Nintendo game or do something on the side that isn't always tied to PlayStation.
Well, I think if you go back and like read those interviews and those announcements and stuff, they make it very clear that it's kind of like a second party situation, like Insomniac was before they were purchased outright. You know, Insomniac exclusively made PlayStation games for a long time, but they weren't owned by PlayStation, and they did later go off and do a Microsoft-only game with Sunset Overdrive. They just kind of had that informal relationship going on where, like, essentially they gave Sony the first right of refusal for their titles. So when it came to, like, Kojima Productions, they always said that they, you know, they were playing the field, they were speaking to a bunch of different people, and for Death Stranding in particular, it made sense for them to partner with Sony, but they always never ruled out going elsewhere for future titles, whether it's just going to be a one-off and then they return to Sony, or whether they sign a larger deal. I think, you know, from everything I've read at least, they seem to really enjoy the freedom that they had splitting from Konami to be able to do whatever they wanted with whoever they wanted on a game-by-game basis. So, you know, it shocks me that it's Microsoft, you know, making the move and that Sony potentially hasn't tried harder to keep Kojima and Kojima Productions, but at the same time, that studio doing something else with someone else isn't a huge surprise for me, despite the history.
I do. I wonder if, because the thing is, I think about Hideo Kojima as like a bankable agent, and I think about the sales that Death Stranding, like the initial sales that Death Stranding had, and then it fell off the top 10 after the first couple of weeks on sale. And it's just like, is Hideo Kojima worth locking down because it's Hideo Kojima rather than what he's actually put out in the last sort of few years? Like, I love going through Death Stranding, I love Phantom Pain, but they're very much nowhere near the quality of the original Metal Gear Solid games, the games that made him. You know, I wouldn't say that the script writing is up there or things like that. Do you think Kojima's reputation is almost like speaks for itself at this point? He doesn't actually need to keep proving himself for these deals to actually come through.
Yeah, totally. I mean, you know, when you're signing a deal with Hideo Kojima, you're signing him partly because of the reputation that precedes him and like the name value and stuff. If I can make a quick comparison to the world of film, if you take a director like Martin Scorsese, right, one of the most celebrated, prolific, and well-respected directors to ever grace the medium, everyone wants to make a Martin Scorsese movie because of the clout and the award potential that comes with him, right, in his movies. He's well-loved. But even then, he doesn't make financial smash hits on the scale of like big blockbusters. He's not bringing in Avengers Endgame money, for instance. So there's a limit on how much financial backing you want to put behind him. And you've seen that with the last few movies. Like Netflix paid $200 million for The Irishman, which was well like overblown. Like that is a ridiculous amount of money for a Martin Scorsese movie. And all of the other studios were like, we are not paying that. You can have him. And that's happened with his next movie, which has gone to Apple. I think Hideo Kojima is in a similar position where everyone wants Hideo Kojima on your side because of, like I said, the fan love, the respect that he brings, and the clout, and the potential to make games that, you know, reap awards and are in the conversation for a long time. But a Hideo Kojima new IP isn't going to sell the same as a Grand Theft Auto sequel or an Uncharted sequel or anything like that. And his games take a lot of money to make. He wants a lot of creative freedom. So I wonder whether there's just a limit for Sony looking at Death Stranding being like, look, this was a lovely partnership, but you didn't bring in the same money as a Ghost of Tsushima or even like a Days Gone or something. So we have a limit on how much money we want to give you. Whereas Microsoft might just be like, well, we've got all of the money in the world. We want to throw it around. We're not just investing in your studio to make a game. We're also investing in your studio to win some of the Japanese market back over and some of the Japanese fan base. Maybe they're more willing to kind of just completely undercut Sony in terms of how much they're willing to give him. And that was just too appealing. You know what I mean? I feel like there's a lot of business realities to kind of that come with getting someone of this caliber and of this studio's caliber.
Well, the thing that like for the longest time I've just always thought is that Sony got Hideo Kojima because they wanted another Metal Gear. If they didn't foresee it, because when they signed that deal, we didn't know what he was going to do next. It was just that the next thing was going to be on like Sony systems, and then it was Death Stranding, this sort of weird, awkward, like brilliant if you like it, which obviously we do, you know, quirky as hell hiking sim with ghosts and weird babies, and it's a whole thing. And I kind of wonder how many of Sony's number crunchers were just sat there going like, oh, what? Why has he done this? Like, we gave him all this money. He's done this insane thing. Like, you give Hideo Kojima a blank check, he'll do something crazy. And I think that because of that, I'm just going full, like, assumptive, cynical, business-minded, whatever. Because of that, I would assume that that next blank check is either not blank or is not, you know, as sort of freeform. Like, they do want to, like, rein him back in towards the reason that, like, his name is so big in the first place. But I also wonder, like, on the Microsoft side, where, you know, everything that Phil Spencer said in regards to acquiring Bethesda is that it's all to bolster Game Pass. It's also that you think of Game Pass as this massive thing. And the name Hideo Kojima being tied to Game Pass, like, you know, Hideo Kojima's next game coming to Game Pass day one, in itself sells Game Pass subscriptions. It doesn't really matter what the game is. So, like, that might be a more, a better prospect for Kojima as a creator if he gets to go, well, I can do whatever I want over here because the project kind of pays for itself. And also, his mentality, his approach to video games, because he has that, you know, 20 plus million subscriber base right there, I wonder if he would do something that directly plays into that many people or a big chunk of people all playing on day one. Like, he sort of flirted with this idea of, like, interconnected player bases, like the, you know, nuclear disarmament only triggering in MGS5 if, like, every player didn't develop a nuke in-game, and Death Stranding having all this interconnected stuff. I guess, like, yeah, that idea of Kojima making something, like, with Game Pass in mind, like, that could be kind of cool.
Totally. I mean, you know, we're talking about his allegiances with Sony or whatever, and I just think that might be a little bit reductive, because, I mean, literally not a few months ago, there was that report that came out of, I think it was VGC, when Google Stadia was shutting down all of its first-party stuff, and they reported that they'd actually turned down a pitch from Hideo Kojima, who wanted to make a Google Stadia exclusive because he was interested in the technology, you know what I mean? So it's not unprecedented that you might look at Game Pass as this new, interesting thing, and then think, well, what can I do with that? How can I make a game that benefits from that? That benefits from that instant access. And, you know, to someone who is, for better or worse, always wanting to do new things now that he's away from Metal Gear Solid, always wanting to innovate in terms of technology, in terms of stories, in terms of how players interact with games. Again, he doesn't always nail it, but that's always underlying all of his games, in my opinion, even the Metal Gear ones. Then why not look at someone like Microsoft, who is willing to spend, you know, $7 billion to buy all of Bethesda, who has all of this money to play with, who is clearly building a stable and is doing something different in the gaming space with Game Pass. Like, of course you would be, you know, interested in working with them, even if it's just for one game. Like, there's no saying that it's going to lock them down forever in the same way that Death Stranding didn't lock them down to Sony. So why not take it on a game-by-game basis, see what's the best offer, see whose kind of current approaches to the gaming space are most compatible with yours, and then, you know, just go for it.
Oh yeah, totally. Like, I think, like I said, I think it makes sense. If I go down the cynical business route, if I was Hideo Kojima in charge of Kojima Productions, what's going to give me the most creative freedom? And Game Pass is very much that thing right now. It's kind of like you said, like Netflix being able to grant Scorsese a three-hour movie where no one else would do that, and because it just it looks good optically for that movie to be on Netflix, like, regardless of the fact that the movie itself is, like, obviously an accomplished piece of work. Like, it's just, it's, I think a lot of the stuff, like, in these regards, ties into the marketing, the optics, the presentation of that service. So I think it makes more sense for him to go that way. But yeah, right now, the talks are ongoing. Apparently nothing's been confirmed, but it's a super interesting, fascinating premise going forward, because right now the only other thing that's on his plate is Death Stranding. There's also the talk of the Silent Hill thing, whether or not even any of that is true, but I guess we'll find out as the year rolls on. But let us know what you think down in the comments below. Where do you want Kojima to go next? What do you want his next project to be? And do you want it to be a continuation of something or a brand new IP? For now, I've been Scott from WhatCulture.com.
JoshuaCulture.com.
I will catch you next time.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.